Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, January 29th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXX, the sixth paragraph. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron through one paragraph ending chronic alcoholics are doomed. Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Dina B. Readers of the text are Sherry M., Dana P., and Becca R. The reference number for Sunday, January 28th, is 21,078. That's 21078. And for this morning, Monday, January 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,079. That's 21079. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Laura L.W., and Lois P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service for this entire month. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am working on my recovery today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month. Thanks, Dawn, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Dina B. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Dina B., recovered in New Hampshire. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting the group or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dina B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXX, the sixth paragraph. Starts with, this immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron through one paragraph ending, chronic alcoholics are doomed. And we're going to be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Sherry M. to begin reading and then share with us.
Good morning. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Much has been written pro and con, but among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. What a fantastic paragraph, hard to get it all in 3 minutes. I am Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered here in Wyoming. Thank you so much for your service, Dawn. And I have never seen that physicians was plural until now. Up until now, I thought it was just the doctor, you know, Dr. Silkworth's opinions. But I think that's pretty cool that it says among physicians, so more than one physician seem to think that we are doomed. And what does this mean? So I just took some notes and wrote down some freeform, which I like to do, a different paragraph. So this is my experience, doomed, likely to have an unfortunate and inescapable outcome, ill-fated. What is chronic? Incurable illness, persisting for a long time. Do I relate to this? Yes, I do. Doomed, desperate, and dying without spiritual help. I have a permanent progressive fatal disease. I have no effective mental defense against the first bite. Without help, it is too much for me. I need to find the one with power, and that one is God. No human power can save me. Did I ever start again, ever after a period of abstinence or food sobriety? Have I ever tried to stop using my own willpower and said this time would be different? Did I lose control? And more than once, then for someone like me, it's a death. It's a slow spiritual death, doomed to be walking around in life, dead inside to everything. This disease robbed me of everything that was worthwhile, connection, love, serenity, peace, contentment, and happiness, and most of all, freedom. I was a slave to food. So when it's talking about debate, you know, the previous paragraph is talking about they can't start eating without developing that phenomenon of craving, and then the only relief they're suggesting is entire abstinence. Well, what am I debating here, right? Have I just determined that everything I've tried to do has not worked? Am I talking to my sponsor and now I'm debating with her or trying to negotiate keeping certain foods in my food plan when we're on step one and I'm trying to get free? Whatever I'm defending against, I've learned, is my problem. And that's God telling me that that is a food that needs to go. You know, and after we get entirely abstinent, there's a second part to step one, and it's, you know, my life has become unmanageable. And from after I get entirely abstinent, it's all the rest of the stuff. It's my perception in life. It's the way that I view the world. It's all of my lifelong beliefs that have to be thrown out the window in order for me to be a person that does not want to pick up food anymore, regardless of my circumstances. And that's what being recovered and working these steps has done for me. My disease is a sniper. It's waiting in the bushes to kill me at all times. The longer I'm here, the worse I'm getting, because every day that I'm abstinent and working this program, my disease is still alive. I hope to never forget that my disease is waiting to kill me. I'm only one bite away from spiritual death. But with all of you and with the big book and with the steps, I can stay recovered and be on this journey with you all, because together we get better and alone I die. Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear from everyone else, and thanks for letting me be in service.
Excuse me, which paragraph are we on page XXX?
Sure. And thank you so much, Sherry M. We're on page XXX, that sixth paragraph down at the bottom of the page that starts with, this immediately precipitates into a seething cauldron. Through that one paragraph ending, chronic alcoholics are doomed. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sherry, for getting us started. A beautiful way to get us all going on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on this paragraph?
Jody E.
Jody E. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Mary Lee R. in Oregon.
Mary Lee R.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Judith S. P.
Dion R.
Judith S. P. Dion R. And we'll go ahead and stop there. I have Jody E., Veronica B., Mary Lee R., Deborah G., Judith S. P., and Dion R. Jody E., please go ahead and get us started.
Thank you so much, Dawn B., and everybody. Good morning. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. So this little paragraph has always really caught my attention, because it seems to me that we do absolutely have a very seething cauldron of debate on this question, not on this meeting, but in Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, and also in the world, in the therapeutic community, in the medical community. Here on this meeting, we do not, and that's one of the reasons I love this meeting, because we agree that we need to abstain entirely from our alcoholic ingredients, foods, and behaviors. And that's just not the case in other Overeaters Anonymous meetings that I've been to and that I went to for many years. And it's not the case in, say, eating disorder facilities. And it's not the case in the medical community, in my experience. It's a seething cauldron of debate. I should be able to moderate. I should be able to eat normally. I should be able to, there's something wrong with me. I'm orthorexic or anorexic if I abstain from, say, sugar or flour. That is what I need to do. That is what I need to do. I know that in the core of my being. And when professionals tell me that, or friends or family imply or say directly that I am mentally ill if I feel that I have to do that, that can be very discouraging. that can be confusing. And I can question my own experience and my own inner knowledge. So it's very nice to find a fellowship where I find agreement on this question of whether or not I need to abstain entirely from my alcoholic ingredients. So that's why I was so happy to find this meeting where people recovered. And that's what I have to say about that paragraph. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Veronica B., please share with us, followed by Mary Lee R., and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you, Dawn, for your service. And what I relate to is most alcoholics are doomed, and the word debate. For me, I knew that I was doomed as a compulsive eater because for many years I knew in my heart, deep inside, that I had a problem with certain foods. I knew that I used foods to check out, and I hated the hold that food had over me. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. And that's when I was shown a different way of living through these 12 steps. But it wasn't until many years later, in 2019, where I got willing to get real honest about my alcoholic foods. And then I had to get real honest in the way I was living my life. And that's when I worked the steps again through the big book. With a different sponsor, and she showed me a new way and a recovered way. I had never experienced food neutrality in Overeaters Anonymous until I completely surrendered in 2019. I had to surrender everything, all my old ideas. I had to just start fresh with a brand new open mind, and that way I let God enter my heart, and I let him do his work on me and had my rearrangement. But really it started with me being willing and being honest and surrendering that I have this illness. And for me, my only solution is these 12 steps. My only solution is a God of my understanding and to have a food plan. I need to have a food plan. It will not work for me if I don't have a food plan. And I am just really grateful that I know what my problem is and more grateful that I'm willing to apply the solution in my life every day, a day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Mary Lee R., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, in recovery just for today. Thank you for my divine director's grace and love. And thank you, moderator. You're just one of the many. When I hear your voice, it's just so encouraging. And that wasn't always my experience in early meetings a long time ago. And the pay and way and, you know, all the things that so many of us have tried. And I remember reaching a point, well, actually, I remember going to the doctor's office, and he handed me a prescription, and it said, just say no. And, you know, that might work for people that don't have the allergy and the obsession. I found that slip of paper recently. I've been going through stuff literally and figuratively, and it made me laugh. But I was actually scheduled for bypass surgery, and I went on a cruise and friends of Bill W., and I met a woman in program, and what a happy, joyous, and free person she was, and I wanted what she had. And so I didn't ever have that bypass surgery, but I found program, and I weighed and measured not only my food, but what came out of my mouth and what went into my brain. And I just was missing a main ingredient, and I really hadn't surrendered completely. And it'll be a year, coming up on a year. I'm just so, it's still one day at a time, and it's still with gratitude and thanks and awe that that we have this program, and that there is a spiritual solution, and that it's a WE program, and I just feel so blessed. And yeah, that's just, may the blessings continue for each and every one of us. Thank you. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Lee R. from Oregon, and congratulations on your year. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Judith S.P., and if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page XXX, that sixth paragraph, where it starts with, this immediately precipitates through one paragraph ending, chronic alcoholics are doomed. So Deborah G., please share with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that has made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. Wow, I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, lovely place to be. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And I can understand how a lot of people in the medical profession and or anywhere that have had an experience with this disease feel that they're doomed, because they're, or maybe never came in contact with anyone that had recovery, or they're trying, especially medical, trying so hard to help people. Must be so frustrating, that powerlessness that they may have feeling, you know, and that doomed way of thinking. And I'm just so grateful for the awareness that I don't have that thinking today, and that I have found something that can help, and that I practice it and live it. And my life is so different, and the freedom, the happiness, the joy, the freedom, the connectedness with God today, and being able to help other people. So many people feel doomed in the throes of this disease, and I'm so grateful that because of the experience I had, that I can help them when they feel that doomed feeling, because it's a very dark, hard place to be. And then to see them after they've gone through, they've, you know, done the tools and gone through the steps, and to see that transformation. It's so lovely. And to hear about their lives and support them. It's just a wonderful, wonderful way to live and be with other people. And I'm so glad I'm part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Judith S.P., please share with us, followed by Dion R., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, this is Judith S.P., gratefully recovered. Thank you, God, in Maryland. Thank you, Dawn, and everyone for being here and the shares. they've really been very impactful. And when I read this paragraph, I visually experienced myself being in a huge fog, where the fog is so thick, and I'm driving in my car with the lights on. The lights aren't really making much difference or helping me. And I have to make a decision because I'm living in fear. Am I going to keep driving? I have no idea what's five feet in front of me. Or am I going to pull over to the side? What am I going to do? And, you know, depending upon where my head and heart are, I think I can handle it, so I keep going. Occasionally, maybe I'll call upon God, as I have over my lifetime when I've been so distressed. Please, God, can you help me? But it usually was contractual. If you do this, God, then I'll do that. And now the fog is lifted. And when I drive, particularly if I'm in the mountains or in a natural setting, once the fog lifts, I am so breathtaking by the beauty. And I will tell you that I am overwhelmed by the beauty of this program and the beauty of being a compulsive overeater when I came into the rooms, which I still am, but in a recovered state, particularly entirely abstinent. And I'm working on my emotional sobriety and having God help me fill the hole in my soul. So that's a lifelong process, which I'm here for. But I finally let go. And when I realize that once the fog lifts, all these things that I can't have anymore, I can't have this box of this, I can't have that bag of that. You mean artificial sweeteners? You're nothing. And all this stuff. I realized there were thousands of foods and thousands of more beautiful experiences ahead of me than keeping my head in the bag or the box. And life is worth living. It's not easy at times. I have to deal with my defects, my warped thinking. But God is with me. And from the strength I gained from you all and the 12 steps and being of service, this is a life that I am truly grateful for and truly grateful for Dr. Silkwood being honest that he couldn't help us. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judith S.P. Dion R., please share with us.
Yes. Hi, good morning. My name is Dion R. Very grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you for all your shares expressing me. The one I recently heard is this spark of interest of me of how well my higher power takes care of me. And looking at this with this, it went into a debate. And the other just reminded me, it just wasn't Dr. Sokol's opinion, it was other physicians. I learn something new every year, I tell you. But other physicians talk about that as if they didn't like that idea of it being a phenomenon, a craving. You know, that's like unexplainable. Scientists can explain, right? So anyway, I like that because it still reminds me that I have an allergy. That once I pick that first thing up, to me, I will even go to it being a spiritual, since OA is a spiritual program for me. That the negative spirit keeps me in the food, the positive spirit keeps me in the into abstinence and recovery and living and enjoying life, discovering things. I have a hobby, discovering things. I never knew that before. All I knew was eat, go for a goal that you're supposed to have, achieve that, and keep going. You know, don't feel. You know, don't be. And being has been one of those activities I'm doing now. I'm just being wherever I'm at. I'm being, enjoying the environment. And I didn't know that before. But I want to end with this that makes sense to me. It says, and what I'm getting at is this is among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic compulsive alcoholics for me are compulsive or don't. once that triggered that allergy, what most doctors were saying, we're doomed. But thank you, Dr. Silkworth, and so many who took a chance and said, told the truth. And with that truth, it has set so many free, because it freed me. It gave me validation that I'm not a weakling or a moral reject, none of that. It's just that I have a malady that is amongst other people. It's a distinct. I love a mother distinct. It previous parents has set us apart as a distinct entity. We're composed of all readers. And that was the best thing I can do, is come in this program to know I'm not alone. And the fight is already fixed. Well, I'm with the winner. And I'm going to sit with that. And with that, I'll say, thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Deanna. And now I'm going to take the names people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are on page XXX, the sixth paragraph. Starts with, this immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron through one paragraph ending, chronic alcoholics are doomed. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on this paragraph?
Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Natalie S.
Natalie S.
S is in sunshine.
Very good. Thank you. All right, let's go with those three, Bonnie B., Becca R., and Natalie S. Bonnie B., please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Don, for your service. Starting my timer. Bonnie B., gratefully recovered today by the grace of God and working the steps. This paragraph is so incredibly cool. There's so much. Oh, my word, there's so much in this paragraph. The words that jumped out to me were the first part. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. You know, I looked up the word precipitates, and it means it causes. It causes something to happen suddenly, and seething means intense but unexpressed anger or debate. And that entire abstinence, that did that for me, right? I mean, I was in relapse went in and out of program for almost 2 years because I debated within my own head what was abstinence and what wasn't. I came out of a program where they identify yellow light foods, red light foods, and green light foods, and I hung on to the yellow light foods, and the yellow light foods for me in the end were red light foods. But boy, I didn't want to get rid of them. I did not. I had someone encourage me to listen to a podcast by Esther C. on what are you holding on to, I think is one of the questions she asked. What are you not willing to let go of? And it was the yellow light foods. But I debated with myself over that. Do I really need to give it up? But this is what I know to be true now. If I debate over anything, it's got a hook in me. If I have a second thought, it's got a hook in me. So there was that intense, but sometimes unexpressed anger over the whole idea of I have to give that up too, not knowing that freedom was on the other side. And then when I take it to like my family or people that don't have my DNA, they sometimes are super perplexed. And I feel like there's an intense pressure from the outside because they don't understand, you know what, I know what I can and can't do. And these are things, or I should say, I know what will put me back into this disease and I choose not to for today. And sometimes I would end up doing 10 steps on outside people who don't have my DNA because they would be debating with me over the fact that I should be able to moderate it. But my experience shows not. And so I love the wording. I love the fact that it gives us, it front loads for me. You can expect this to happen. When you do entire abstinence from behaviors, foods, and everything else that your higher power identifies to you as being your deal, you can expect. I can expect that I'm going to have my disease fighting with me in my head, and I'm also going to have people who don't have my DNA trying to debate with me. But I know that, you know, for me, I will never be able to eat a certain way or exercise a certain way in moderation because I have a different DNA. And so I turn it all over to God on a daily basis. And by the grace of God, I live emotionally sober, and that's the gift I have for today. And so with that, I'll pass. And thanks again, everyone.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Natalie S., and let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Kentucky. And I just wanted to chime in. It's been a while since I shared, but I really, I think about my experience. I was coming to Overeaters Anonymous. However, I hadn't experienced neutrality or relief from working the 12 steps. And I felt this, the debate. I can remember the debate going on in my head during meetings, thinking I was different, thinking I was special. That might work for you, but that food plan, it's too strict for me, yada, yada, yada. But what is different about when I came in and I surrendered and I accepted this program was that I had admitted that I was doomed. I had tried everything. Everything I could do failed. It didn't provide me with the consistent recovery. And so the doomed place was a place I needed to be in order to accept this program and to be willing to work this program, like its directions are laid out in the big book to work it. It's funny, I didn't know that I wasn't willing, because at the time I think I would have said, yes, I'm willing to do anything, get me skinny. But the truth was, I wasn't. I had those reservations. I was going to tip my toes into the water of OA, but I wasn't going to come all the way in and sit all the way down. And yeah, that's just what stuck out to me. It's good to be here today. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Natalie S., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you. And it's so appropriate. I'm calling from Arizona. This is Natalie S., and I'm tempted to say I'm just compulsive, but I'm compulsive. I am compulsive eater. So what really stood out to me in this, and it echoes what the previous two shares were about, is that I, being relatively new in the program, don't know what I don't know. And this last week, I had just been struggling with something in my food plan, and I started this debate, and I kept talking to God about it, and one, you've got it, it's okay. Well, what stood out to me in this paragraph, I tend to be kind of visual, and it talked about the seething cauldron of debate. And when I hear the word seething cauldron, my mind immediately goes to like the Wicked Witch of the West and her big brew and all of that. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a cauldron. And then how awful that is, and how when I'm in that, it feels I'm out of control and I don't even realize it. And then I remembered, you know, that saying about how to boil a frog. Well, you put them in cold water and you slowly turn up the heat. And I was really struggling until this morning. I had someone else pray with me, and I've been using the steps, but I just wasn't willing to accept it and accept the direction. And I'm just grateful that God had this part of the big book in mind for today, because I heard it. And I don't have to beat myself up that I didn't know, because I don't know what I don't know until I know, or my eyes have been opened and my ears have been opened. And I just want to say that the relief that I feel today that I did not feel yesterday and the entire week, I now understand why. And I am grateful that all of you are here. And especially I understand now how newcomers can help me remember, oh gosh, the pain and the suffering that I put myself through So that's really all that I wanted to share, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Natalie S. from Arizona. And I'm now going to take some more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Stephanie S.
Stephanie S. Who else would like to share?
Russell S.
Russell F.
Mona S.
And Mona S. And we'll stop there. Stephanie S., please share and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name's Stephanie S. I'm from Washington State. And reading this paragraph, this is the first year I've ever read the big book, so it's pretty new to me, and I'm reading this paragraph standing today and this last 6 months for the first time that I'm doomed and that I really do not, I'm one of those most chronic compulsive overeaters. I am one of those people that the physicians generally said, Stephanie S., you're doomed. And it's when you get a bad diagnosis from a doctor, excuse me, you feel almost like the rug's pulled out from under you. And then the doctor says, I have treatment for you. And I think right here, the reality is that we need to understand the severity. I need to understand and remember the severity of this disease and that it's not something to play around with. And it's very scary. Now, yet other people that are not in this circle and this fellowship will say to me, oh, you're fine. But the facts are, my higher power has shown me I'm doomed. So anyway, that's where I'm at. But the good news is that I have hope now, and I have a treatment plan, and I'm following what my sponsor has shown me, and what this big book's showing me, and what God is showing me. And there's hiccups, but I'm on my way. So. Anyway, with that, thanks for letting me share, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie S. from Washington. Russell F., please share with us, followed by Mona.
Hello, all. Good morning. I am went over my fourth and fifth step with my sponsor, and miraculous, quite the right word, but it certainly has helped curb my obsession for sugar and for basically wanting to go to See's Candy and wreck myself that way and stop abstaining and dive in that way. And I'm certainly grateful because the obsession is lifting. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell F. Did you want to let us know where you're calling from? I didn't catch that. Maybe
sure.
He's muted.
Mesa, Arizona.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank
Russell
you.
F. from Arizona. Mona S., please share with us.
Okay. Hello, my name is Mona S., and I am from Montana. And I just want to share... I still feel like a newcomer. I have been here a little over 7 months, and I've had abstinence for 7 months, which just is a miracle to me. And I just really want to speak to the newcomers. In the beginning, it was a big learning curve, because to make time for meetings every day and start working the steps and doing readings, and it was, and I'm working, and I thought, how am I going to get all this in? And God figured it out for me. And I've just come through a very, very stressful some months from September to December, and then surgery, and, you know, fear of cancer, and everything is fine. But I would not have made it through without these meetings, without these steps, and without my incredible supportive sponsor that kept my mind straight through all this. My disease is progressive, and when I came in here, I was shocked at the behaviors that I had been engaging in, and I didn't want to live that way. And I know it's progressive. If I go back and choose to eat my alcoholic foods, I'd never even heard that before, alcoholic foods. God, that made so much sense. I don't miss them. Occasionally I think about them, but I just don't want to go back to that misery. And I just completed steps 6 and 7 on to 8 and 9. So it works if you work it. And I am so eternally to the people who have been here along and share how they relapsed and how they got back on. And as difficult as that was for you, it was such a good learning experience for me to hear your stories, because you teach me what I'm not supposed to do. And I'm listening to you all. So I am so grateful that you can be rigorously honest and share that with us, because it's painful. And I hear it in your voices, and it's motivation for me to keep working this program. So newcomers, don't quit before the miracle occurs. And I'm so grateful to all of you for this incredible program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mona S. from Montana. And we have time for about a minute and a half share, if someone would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last few days. Star 1, if you'd like to take this last share.
Alexis from New Jersey.
Okay, go ahead, Alexis.
When I first came into the program, well, even before that, when I was going to a pain way, they wanted to know why I wasn't losing weight, and I was following the diet. Exactly. But I was drinking 2 2-liter bottles of Pepsi a day, diet. I didn't lose weight for a month. They went over it, and they said, that's why you're not losing. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous a long time ago, 48 years ago, I was abstinent. I was weighing and measuring. I was on a very strict plan, and I was chewing 15 packages of gum a day. It always had to be something to treat myself. You know, it always had to be something else.
Time.
And then, time?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Alexis. Sorry about that. And thank you to everyone who shared. I'm now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you, Dawn. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.